Well, I'm excited about this series, Made New. I'm excited about today's message. And let me just begin with an experience we had years ago. We had moved here and we were renting a home, and spring had come. The grass was turning green. I was working in my yard, and there was this one spot that nothing I did made it match the rest of the yard. And it's just like glaring and ugly. And so I'd go to the store and I'd study these things that you could get. I'm like, this is going to work. I'd apply it. It didn't work. Went back, got something. It didn't work. Finally, every time I went, I saw the saying, lawn paint. Just paint it. It said it won't be new, but it'll look new. And so I just painted it and went on about. And I thought about that in this series, and here's the reason. I want to make every effort that none of us have to just paint over a heart that God would like to awaken. I don't want us to look new, but we're really not. I don't want us to look spiritually alive, but we're really not. I want us to be made new by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. That's the passion behind this series. So we go once again to the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. It starts in chapter 3 of the book of John, verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Just focus with me for a moment and notice that Nicodemus comes with this observation that's really a question. He's like, the way you teach, it's life-giving. The signs, the miracles are life-giving. And yet, I am observing all of this religious, all of these rituals, and there's no life, and I'm trying to figure this out. And so Jesus, it's interesting, he doesn't even respond to that observation. He doesn't respond to the question that is in that observation. Jesus being Jesus, he is going to answer the question that Nicodemus really had. Nicodemus, this well-educated, successful, religious man who's just painting over the deadness because none of that other stuff was bringing life, is trying to figure this out because he's sensing something as Jesus taught that never happened when he taught or when other religious leaders taught. He's never seen miracles happen like that's happening through Jesus that all pointed to life. And Jesus turns this conversation from that observation of teaching and signs to about a relationship and kingdom. And he says, Nicodemus, essentially he's like, you don't see this kingdom that's right in front of you. And you'll never see it until you enter it by relationship with me. And he says, for the first time that anybody ever heard the words, you must be born again. See, Nicodemus, the question is, this reality you're after, it is not coming from the teaching in and of itself. It's not coming from the miracles in and of themselves. There's a power, and you're close because you've already said, I couldn't do what I'm doing unless I come from God. But you still don't see it. Because if you saw it, you'd be asking about kingdom and not signs and teaching. And so Jesus is going to take him on this journey in this conversation. And let's talk about perception for a moment. If you've entered this place and There's a perception of God, a perception of life. There is a misery in your own heart. Perhaps this message could help you get a fresh or real perception of where the answer is and who the answer is. Then let's talk kingdom for a second. Because he says, you don't see the kingdom. This is such a strategic observation. You know, I guess we should recognize every one of us in this room, from my right to left, from front to back, we all are in one of two kingdoms. A kingdom that is ruled by despair, defined by darkness, or a kingdom that is fueled by life. Paul's words are, the kingdom of God is one of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Peter, writing in his first letter, second chapter, that the grace of God, it brings us out of a kingdom of darkness, there's a description, into a kingdom of light, where we are made new by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Kingdom by way of relationship. Are you living more in darkness and despair? Or are you living in peace and a spirit that is filled with joy? Isn't it interesting that even our laws tell us so much about the human condition? There's not one law about being too kind. Like, you are just so nice, it's become illegal. Not what? But look at all of the laws that are in place to keep us from hurting others and hurting ourselves. Like, not one about being too nice, but more than we can almost count about being destructive toward others or ourselves. What does that say about the human condition? And I'm presenting to you today by the gospel, we're talking about a kingdom reality. It is speaking, there's a kingdom that is ruled by despair, where destruction happens. And there's a kingdom that is fueled by life, love, peace, power, and joy. Could it be that the answer you're looking for can never be found in the kingdom you reside? And until you are in another kingdom, you will never experience life. You'll just have to paint over the dead spots. And the entrance into that new kingdom comes from these powerful words that Jesus said to Nicodemus: you have to be born again. So Nicodemus continues in verse 4, well, how can someone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Nicodemus is like really concrete, isn't he? Like, I'm old, how can I be born again? And my mother will never cooperate with this. Like, that's just... Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. He's talking to this religious expert who would know he's speaking specifically from Ezekiel 36, where it talks about cleansing of the heart using water as the metaphor, where God will take the heart of flesh and give the heart of stone and give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. Now track with me, see the two kingdoms here. Verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh. There's the kingdom, the physical kingdom. But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. There's the kingdom of God. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Oh, he is having the most amazing conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it pleases. And you hear it sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And Jesus is saying, you recognize that the influence I'm having indicates I must come from God. I'm trying to tell you, Nicodemus, the deeper question here is the life-giving Spirit of God that can awaken your spirit. Track with him. Let me just play something right here. This is so important to know. You are not a physical being with a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being with a physical experience. This is how God in the Old Testament would say, before I formed you, I knew you. This is why at death, you are absent from the body. Wait a minute. How am I absent from the body? Because I'm a spiritual being with a physical experience. And this house will give way, but my spirit lives on. And I will be from, at the moment my life ends here, it's one of two places. Out of the kingdom I reside by the relationship that I have. Nicodemus, he's learning. You'll keep painting over all the deadness until you're born again. Until spirit gives birth to your spirit. And Paul's words become true of you and for me that old things pass away. And all things become new because we're made a new creation, a new heart, a new nature, a new future. Could it be, I'll say it again, that the problems, let's say of addiction or depression, that feel anchored in the physical reality, that God wants us to see the answer is in the kingdom of God, this kingdom of darkness and all of its issues and vices cannot be countered, responded to from this kingdom of darkness. The answer for the problems I'm having come from this kingdom, and it's not from a concept but a person. And the bridge between darkness and light, death and life, is Jesus Christ. And through a relationship, I come to know life, life to the full, life abundantly, life overflowing. And the change is happening from the inside out. And I am awakened and transformed. Awakened, life, and transformed. Whew. A new heart. This understanding will keep me from just chopping at the fruit of the problem instead of the root of the problem. Spirit gives birth to spirit. So Nicodemus says in verse 9, I just don't know. How can this be? Well, you're Israel's teacher, said Jesus. Do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know. We testify of what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Now watch Jesus give a religious expert the gospel. The most well-educated guy of the day, successful guy, religious expert, but he's painting over his deadness. And there, this is an unfolding conversation. And Jesus gives him the gospel and says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. That's the virgin birth. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's the cross. And notice how he is tying in Old Testament types and pictures to this religious man who would get it. And he's like, the fulfillment of that is sitting right in front of you. It's me. I'm the one born of the virgin, sinless life, soon will be sacrificed on a cross as your substitute so you can quit painting over the deadness. There is no story like this story of the gospel. He says, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him, not of him or by him, but in him. And this is John writing that later will be picked up on by Paul, and it's the in Christ difference. I am who I am because of Jesus. I have life because of Jesus. I have purpose because of Jesus. I have victory because of Jesus. My past has no hold on me because of Jesus. I'm not in darkness, I'm in light because of Jesus. It's the in Christ difference. I not only have life because of Jesus, I have life in him. Hey, Nicodemus, this is what you're looking for. So here we go. Watch this. Nicodemus, the first person who ever hears this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Again, capture the moment. Nicodemus is hearing Jesus give John 3:16. Whoever believes in him, you believe in the virgin birth, the sinless life, death by crucifixion and the resurrection. You believe, that's what it means. You believe in the gospel. Jesus, the atoning sacrifice. You believe in him and you shall not perish. No more painting over the deadness, but you will have eternal life. Thank you, God. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So many people that you talk to right now that are separated from God, they often have gotten confused on God's intention. And they feel like he's been indifferent. Something has happened to them. They've seen something. And they have a misunderstanding of God's intent. So the gospel reminds us, God's intention was love. And love drove God to sending his only son. And love is what led Jesus through everything he went through, even death on a cross. Love is the intention of God. Let's make sure that we see how clear Jesus is being. Nicodemus, the reason that I'm saying for you to be born again is because God loves you, Nicodemus, to the point that he would send me, his son. And I have come, Nicodemus, he's going to reemphasize it, not to condemn you. That's not my intention. My intention is to save you. Wow. Your concept of God, he's for you, not against you. God loves you. God, we will do a great job all of our own condemning ourselves. So Jesus doesn't even need to do that. He doesn't come to condemn, but to save. And then Paul said in Romans 8:1, well, here we go. In Christ, there's no condemnation. How awesome is the love of God? How high, how deep, how wide is the love of God? Deep enough, high enough, and wide enough to forgive me of all my sin, past, present, and future. Because the cross is complete. Come on, you got to help me today. That is the best news right there. Whew. Nicky Gumbel, he started the ministry that we're leading right now called Alpha. It is a ministry that helps people who are exploring, like Nicodemus, a place to ask questions, a place where truth and grace are mixing powerfully in a life-changing way. But let me tell you about Nicky, who started it all. He's now 68. When he was in college, he was an atheist. Three of his atheist friends got saved. He was so literally mortified by their decision that for the first time in his life, he read the Bible, specifically the New Testament, for the purpose of learning so he could talk them out of their decision. And in his reading of the New Testament, Jesus and his grace became a life-changing encounter, and he was born again. He became so passionate to share Jesus with people because he's one that just was painting over the deadness, brilliant, successful, yet there was something missing. And so he's like, how can I reach people? And he did so many different things, but what worked the best is when he would get a group of people that didn't know the Lord just to sit down and say, let's have a conversation. Let's talk it through. Ask your questions. I was where you are. And they began to hold conversations. And in one of those first gatherings was a guy named Matthew, who was a student at Cambridge. Rebellious, defiant, really coming for all the wrong motives, but God got a hold of Matthew's heart through those conversations and he was born again. He went on to become Nicky's brother-in-law. But in those early months of his salvation, all of his friends, they were unsaved and he was able to get them. And it was the first group that Nicky ever had. And they just had their 25-year anniversary of that group of people that got saved, that are serving Jesus to this day. And it all started with a man who set out to talk three Christians out of their salvation. But he gets saved. And now, all these years later, Alpha, he took what he was doing and put it into a ministry called Alpha. And 30 million people have accepted Jesus Christ going through the ministry called Alpha, that started with a man set out to keep people from Jesus. There is no God like our God. It's just the best, isn't it? And to me, as looking at people's lives, Nicky is so like Nicodemus. He literally experienced the life-saving grace of Jesus through his questions. And if you take this passage, Jesus kept working with the questions that Nicodemus has. Jesus is not afraid of your questions. He welcomes them. As you're exploring with a true heart to learn, he wants you to experience truth. And that's what Alpha is about. And I just am so thankful to watch the ministry of grace where people like Nicky just believe. They believe. And the rest is the story of salvation. I want to ask you this today. I want to ask the worship team to join me. Maybe you've never known who he really is. You've just known about him. But you've never had a clear picture. Maybe this passage has cleared up some things. Do you sense maybe today a whole new level of the love that God has for you? See, if so, then that ties into this first thing that we see in Nicodemus. It's about your perception. It's how you have perceived Jesus. But you start perceiving him in a different way because the Holy Spirit Whether you know anything about the Holy Spirit, he starts working in your thoughts. It could be a friend that he's been using. It could be a podcast you've been listening to. It could be a group that you've been around, and your perception, like Nicodemus, you're starting to see. And what are you starting to see? You're starting to see there's a different kingdom. There's a whole different dimension. And in that kingdom is everything you need to live this life. And that the problems you have will not be answered by the kingdom you're in. They can only be answered by this kingdom called the kingdom of God. And so again, perception of true reality starts to come across your mind. I get it now. And you cannot enter the kingdom of God where there is peace and joy, where there's righteousness, but through Jesus Christ. The door into this kingdom is Jesus. And the cross and the resurrection is what opened the door. And now, if you believe, you are brought out of this kingdom of despair defined by darkness, brought into the kingdom of freedom, life, purpose, victory by a relationship with Jesus. Would you just close your eyes in the presence of God with me today? All the forgiveness you've ever wanted is in Jesus. All the courage you have ever needed to live this life is in Jesus. Are you ready to put your trust in Jesus? Are you ready to trust him and follow him? If so, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Before we pray, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. Not to be uncertain about it. Clarity has come. The love of God, you're sensing it as never before. So when I ask you to lift your hand, just lift it and experience life. Be made new. You can live new once you are made new. You say, you have spoken to me today. I'm going to count to three. And at number three, if you say, it's me, I want to put my faith in his grace, I want you to lift your hand. You ready? One, two, three. Just lift it up. Say, I. And I see your hand. Someone else, just keep lifting them today. I want to know. I see your hand. Thank you. Someone else. I see your hand. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Today is your sacred moment to be born again. Oh, it's impossible for me to describe the power that is in this moment, the life that awaits you. Anybody else, you say, I want to lift my hand, include me. I want you to repeat this prayer after me, and I would like to invite every Christian to do so as an encouragement to the four people that are accepting Jesus Christ and being born again this morning. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. I ask you to come into my life, awaken my spirit. I want to be born again. Forgive my sins. Make me a new person, I pray. I love you as well. I enter this relationship in faith, and I thank you for changing me today and transforming me as I follow you. Thank you for loving me and for finding me and saving me. In your name, the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.